Oh, man, it's been an awesome week 16 so far in the NFL. I feel like, Kate, every day I log on to Twitter and people are like, oh, Rams-Seahawks, game of the year. No, Bears-Packers, that was the Seahawks or Steelers and Lions, that was the game of the year. You could make an argument for any three. I mean, all those finishes, insane. So many great games. Let's hope we got one more great game as well on Monday Night Football. We got the Niners traveling to Indy to take on the Colts. With the Lions' loss yesterday, San Francisco does clinch a playoff berth, but they're hoping that maybe they still got a shot at winning the NFC West. If they win tonight, win against the Bears next week, Seattle loses to Carolina, and then those two teams match up final week of the regular season. If the Niners win out and Seattle loses to Carolina, Niners could get the number one seed in the NFC. But first, they got to take care of Indy. They're a 5.5-point favorite on the road tonight against the Colts. And obviously, the big storyline will be another game of Phillip Rivers under center for Indy. Kate, before we get into tonight's game, like, what were your thoughts on Rivers against Seattle? If you had to give him, you know, a grade, like a B plus, C plus, A minus, if you had to have a grade for Rivers' first start against Seattle, what do you think you would give?
I mean, I would give him a B plus. Look, like, they were in that game for most of it. I thought he played well for the situation that he was coming into and hadn't played in how many years. Was he phenomenal? No. Like, do his passing yards reflect like an unbelievable game? No, but he kind of didn't need to do a whole lot. Like, he just kind of needed to be a game manager. We talk about that, like, you know, all the time, especially with the 49ers and Brock Purdy over the years. But like, this was like kind of the ultimate game manager, not ask him to do too much. And so I thought he came out and played well. I thought part of that win for the Seahawks, or at least this game being as close as it was, because the Seahawks were two touchdown favorites in that game and it didn't end up, you know, panning out that they won by that much. But I thought the Seahawks were looking forward to the Rams a little bit. And so that's maybe why the Colts had more success, is that the focus wasn't fully there. Like, you have old man Rivers coming in, you're two touchdown favorites, but yet a massive division matchup coming up in a couple days. So I thought that was a little bit more of a reflection of the Seahawks not playing up to their potential versus Rivers, like, really having himself like a monster game.
I agree. I think B plus is the perfect grade. I was impressed with how he played. First and foremost, he survived the game. He came out of it healthy and available, right, to play this game. Cause I think that was all our big question is, like, I mean, this guy hasn't played in 5 years. He was never mobile to begin with. Now he's 44, going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL. Like, if he takes a shot from one of those defenders, I mean, he's going to be out for the game, and then he's going to be out for the season. So the fact that he's just good enough to return and play another game for Indy, I think, is a win. And then to your point, like, there was no catastrophic, like, turnovers. Like, he did nothing for his team to lose that game. When Minnesota went to Seattle like a month ago, and remember, they were going through their quarterback injuries and Max Brosmer was making his first start.
Yep.
Kate, it was very similar to, like, Minnesota's defense was keeping them in that game, and then Brosmer threw that terrible pick six and it flipped the game on its head, and Minnesota just never recovered and Seattle ran away. Like, there was none of that with Rivers. He, to your point, he was a game manager. They were leaning on Jonathan Taylor. They were leaning on their defense. Badgley was coming through with field goals. So it was very complimentary team football, and they're going to need to do the same thing again tonight. And what I think makes tonight's game so interesting is, a lot of times in sports, when you have like these great narratives or like these crazy stories or, you know, kind of just like things that people are rooting for, a lot of times it goes well in the first game, but then everybody's going to want to root for it again tonight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because it's Monday Night Football and they have their own pregame show, they're going to be doing all these features on Rivers and they're going to be talking to him, right? People are going to want to bet the Colts and all these kinds of things. I kind of think tonight might be a train wreck. You know, like, now that the Niners have some film, they're seeing what Steichen wants to do with Rivers. It's a Monday. There's some extended rest there. I don't know if tonight's going to go as well. So I didn't hate the idea of backing the Colts against Seattle, but backing them tonight against San Francisco, I don't know if I can get there.
Yeah, PJ, you took the words out of my mouth. That's where I'm going tonight. I'm all over San Francisco. I am happy to lay the 5.5. I think this could be a disaster of a game tonight for the Colts because of all the reasons you just said. It's like the air is kind of let out of the balloon a little bit, even after a solid performance in week one. It's the coach fired bump. It's the quarterback change bump that you get in that first game. And then everything else just kind of goes to the wayside for that second game, especially with a team like the 49ers coming in who still have a lot to play for. And I mean, everyone's talking about the Rams and the Seahawks in the NFC North right now. The conversation doesn't really revolve around the 49ers. And I think they kind of want to remind everyone of that tonight. They've won their last four games straight, all by double digits. They're 3-0 straight up and against the spread in primetime games this year. So I think this is a 49ers team that comes in and, I mean, destroy might not be the right word, but easily handles this Colts team, easily handles Phillip Rivers. The one concern I have is the 49ers run defense. They've allowed over 100 yards on the ground to want to say a single back in their last two games. So obviously Jonathan Taylor will be a concern of some magnitude, but he hasn't been at his best over the last 6 weeks either. So that kind of negates that a little bit. So yeah, I'm all over 49ers -5.5. Happily will lay that even with them on the road.
Yeah, those are some good stats there about the Niners' run defense. I mean, Kate, I think from a prop standpoint, like Jonathan Taylor is definitely going to be popular tonight. It's going to be a question of how you bet on him or how you fade him. So the rushing attempts are 22.5 tonight for Jonathan Taylor. The rushing yards is 97.5 for Jonathan Taylor. And then the one that I think I kind of like is his longest rush is 17.5. And the under is +110, you know, because I would probably lean towards the over attempts at 22.5 in that game against Seattle. He had 25 carries and I would expect him to have similar. But again, the game script allowed for Indy to give him the ball that many times, right? It was always close. It was always a one possession game. They never had to lean on Rivers. They never had to abandon the run. So that's your fear, is that if this game gets ugly, then Taylor obviously won't get the carries. So that's why I don't love it as much for this game. 97.5 is a lot, even for Jonathan Taylor. And like you said, he hasn't been as great here the past few weeks with the quarterback trouble. I kind of think the way to go with Jonathan Taylor might be the longest rush under at 17.5, especially the fact that you're getting it at +110. Because look, Robert Saleh, I mean, all these defensive coordinators, like, it's not rocket science, right? You just put a bunch of guys in the box and you force Phillip Rivers to beat you. I mean, your entire game plan is centered around stopping Jonathan Taylor. Kate, his last three games, his longest rush, 12 yards, 14 yards, and 11 yards. Now, he's faced three really good run defenses in Houston, Jacksonville, and Seattle, but I mean, he's not even getting close to the 17.5. So I know the Niners have injuries. I know Bose is out. I know Fred Warner's out. Like, you know, they're missing some key guys, and all it takes is just one 25-yard rush, 20-yard rush for Taylor to go over, but just hasn't been getting those explosive running plays. And even with him not breaking those big runs, Kate, he still had 85, 74, and 87 rushing yards. So he's been closer to that 97.5 number. He's still getting those attempts, but he's not getting those big breakaway runs. So I kind of like his longest rush to go under tonight. That would be my bet for Jonathan Taylor.
I could easily get on board with it, with that, PJ, especially you said it's plus money to the under.
Yeah, +110. I mean,
Everyone wants to bet the over on that, of course. So you get a nice price there. I would go unders across the board for Taylor in terms of carries and yards too, because you're right. Game script was part of what dictated 25 carries last week. I don't think he gets that many this week. I mean, maybe he sniffs 20, but that's still under what the 22.5. The yardage, I mean, it's been out. The last time he had over 100 yards, PJ, was all the way back in that Atlanta game, and that was the Berlin game. So he hasn't had 100 yards on the ground in the United States in the last 4 weeks. One thing, if you wanted to bet an over on Jonathan Taylor, like, I wonder if maybe we see him a little bit more in the short intermediate passing game, like maybe a couple dump offs to Jonathan Taylor for Rivers, because that's all he's going to do. Rivers is not throwing bombs deep. Like, Alec Pierce, longest reception, was one of my favorite bets early on in the season when Daniel Jones was going to him. I'm not sure Alec Pierce is getting over his longest reception today. I think everything that we see from Rivers tonight is a lot of dink and duck, and maybe that's where Jonathan Taylor is utilized a little bit more. His rushing or his receiving number, rather, is 18 and a half. You can get under 20 and a half. That's the best number I've actually, no, you want over. So over 18 and a half at BetMGM is the best number there. Like, maybe that's something to consider. Other than that, I think I'm off Taylor props all around unless you're playing unders.
I think that's fair. And then, yeah, in the receiving game for Indy, I think the only guy I'd probably look at is Tyler Warren. And just the reason being, I mean, again, with the Warner injury, like so much, I mean, he's so good. He covers so much ground for them over the middle of the field. And with Rivers being 44 and the arm strength just not being there, I mean, he can't push it down the field. Like, and Warren's such a big target. There's so many different ways that they can get him the ball. At BetMGM, though, his reception number at 3.5, the over is -160. So I really don't want to lay that kind of juice. And then his receiving yards total is at 35.5. Feels about right. I don't really want to go over that either. So I don't think I'll bet any props for any of the Indy wide receivers. I'll just stick with, like you said, Jonathan Taylor unders and probably that longest rush under as well. What about on the San Francisco side of things? Certainly McCaffrey, always the focal point for them. Every single game, he's been awesome again this season. When it comes to CMC, would you do anything tonight? And then more importantly, like, would you target him more so as in the running game or in the receiving game?
I feel like they've started to use him a little bit more in the run game, which is weird to say because he is their running back. But I would go both. I would go rushing and receiving. When the games that he goes off, it's typically like a decently even split between the two, honestly. And I just feel like he's able to beat you so many different ways, and they've used him in so many different ways this season compared to years past in terms of just having him be kind of a pure running back in years past, where he's very active within the passing game as well. So I would go over rushing and receiving. 99.5, best number I'm seeing out there. Let's see what BetMGM has. 102.5. I think that is, I mean, he's averaging 124 rushing and receiving yards per game, PJ. So that's where I'm going with this. You had his last game here, 73 yards on the ground, 14. So he's, I guess, 21 receiving yards the game before that, quieted down a little bit, but he has plenty of games over 50 receiving yards, 60 receiving yards. I mean, a 70 against Atlanta. I think you go combine the two over rushing and receiving.
I like that. I mean, that's always a good bet when you're dealing with McCaffrey. You mentioned, though, the last 3 weeks, they've really leaned on him in the run game. 24 carries for 89 yards against the Panthers, 20 carries for 53 against Cleveland, and then last week against Tennessee, 22 carries for 73 yards. They also had the late bye week a couple weeks ago, right? So because of that late bye week, these guys are a little bit fresher than some of these other teams that are playing, yep, certainly right now. I think that helps them. And because it's the longer week on Monday night, I could see them giving McCaffrey a bunch of carries again tonight. So yeah, his attempts are 17.5, juiced to the over at -120. His rushing yards, though, is 61.5. That feels too low to me.
That feels so really low. With the 17. So
Yeah. 17.5. Yeah. I like 61.5 for sure. Brian Robinson's number is 23.5. So maybe there's some thought that Robinson gets, more carries than he's been getting here as of late. I'm with you, Kate. I think 61.5 is too low. So I like McCaffrey over rushing yards.
Well, yeah. How much? I mean, we talked about game script on the other side and Jonathan Taylor not running as much because they might be passing it. But like, you'd got to think if game script is that same, I mean, if that's the same game we're talking about, which it is, the 49ers would lean on the run more late, keep the ball on the ground, work the clock. So therefore McCaffrey would get more tread even late, unless they decide to sit him late in the game and play Brian Robinson more. I mean, that could be why it's a little bit lower, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. 61.5. Again, you look at three of his last four games, he's at 81, 89, 53 against the Browns defense, and then 73 against Tennessee. Indy does have a good run defense. They were great last week against Charbonnet and Walker against Seattle. But yeah, I think 61.5 is too low. I agree with you there. Another bet that I think could be an interesting angle, Kate, first quarter, I'm thinking of maybe backing Indy in the first quarter at plus 115 on the money line. I would agree with you where I would lean towards San Francisco, maybe full game spread. But my thought is the Colts are at home, prime time, season on the line, and Rivers making the start. I could just kind of see them like getting off to a fast start, maybe going up 7-0, right? And everybody being like, oh, Joe Buck on the call with Troy Aikman. Oh, the Rivers, what a story, right? They're up 7-0. Look at this guy leading the team down the field. Like, I could see that. I could see them starting fast. And then as we go on in the second half, the Niners kind of separate. But yeah, maybe an angle there on the Colts in the first quarter at plus 115 against San Francisco. We'll revisit that game later on in the show. Give out all of our best bets during lightning bets. But when we come back, case of the Mondays. What are we still dreading from over the weekend? PJ Glasser, Kate Constable, Bet Sweats, presented by BetMGM.